let this nightmare stop! Please, I'm begging you to stop!
Invented FUBU.
Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, heard around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. As always, very happy now to be joined by actor Billy Baldwin. You know him for many of his projects he's had, from Internal Affairs and Backdraft and others. And Billy, when I heard you were coming on the show, the first name that popped into my head was Van Stretch is coming on. I mean, that was a long time ago. Do you still get people calling you Van Stretch?
Yeah, on occasion. That's a film that I did years ago, I think 1989, with Mike Figgis and Richard Gere and Andy Garcia and Laurie Metcalf, a great group of creative talents. And, you know, I look back at my career, and I've had a lot of successes that I'm very proud of and that I have a lot of respect for in my recent career. But when I look back at the beginning of my career, that's right on the top of that, and probably Born on the 4th of July and Backdraft and a few others. Those, in my early career, that's one of my favorites. Mike Figgis is a tremendous talent.
Now, Billy is here. Of course, we're a sports talk show. He's talking about being a part of the committee to preserve Olympic wrestling. He is a board member of that. And today in New York City, they're going to be having an event, and Sunday in Los Angeles as well. First of all, Billy, when I look at you, you're obviously not a former Olympic wrestler. You don't have that kind of build. What is it about Olympic wrestling that called you to be a champion for this cause?
Well, I wrestled my whole life, elementary, junior high, high school, college. I wrestled at a Division III school up in upstate New York. That was quite competitive. There were third in Division III, as high as third when I was there, behind Brockport State and Trenton State. It was Binghamton University. And I've been around the sport my entire life. My best friend's dad, who was like a second father to me, a guy named Al Bevilacqua, who's a very, you know, iconic figure as a coach in international wrestling, introduced me to the sport. In fact, I met Dan Gable in his living room numerous times in the mid-70s after Gable won the 72 Olympics, and I was bitten by the bug then when I was about 8 or 9 years old, and I've been, you know, I either did it junior high school and college, and I've been a supporter and an enthusiast and a patron of the sport ever since.
Well, I would imagine, because I grew up with two brothers, and we know that your three brothers are all actors as well. I would imagine that there were a lot of, let's say, wrestling and fisticuffs at a very early age.
Yeah, lies, you know, rowdy, rambunctious, Irish Catholic upbringing in the suburbs of New York. You know, I had four concussions and a fractured skull before I was 8, just from my brother Daniel, who, by the way, when I was on my high school wrestling team in 9th grade, I wrestled 98. And he wrestled 235. So you can imagine where it doesn't take a lot of math to figure out how I got all those concussions. He used to do things like throw me off the, off the roof of the house into the pool in the backyard. There was only one problem. We didn't have a pool. No, a lot of roughhousing in that house. You know, I would go to my dad and say, Dad, what should I do? I got to get another concussion. He's like, you know the drill. I'm not taking you to the emergency room. You know, that's a $20 deductible. I can't afford that. I'm like, yeah, but I'm bleeding from my ear. He's like, come here, let me take a look at that.
Well, you know what, not to belabor the point, but I remember I heard an interview years ago from your brother Steven, and he said Alec was by far the meanest brother. Is that true?
No. Daniel by far was, when it comes to that type of, like, angst and torture that you get from an older sibling, no one rivals my brother Daniel. He toughened us up at a very early age.
All right. Well, as we know, Billy, over the years, we've lost some pretty cool sports from the Olympics. And, baseball, that one really hit home with me. They were going to have a stadium at Hyde Park Corner in London, and then it gets taken out of the London Olympics. And so preserving Olympic wrestling, I mean, you think about wrestling as an Olympic sport, I'd have to put that down in the top three, you know, going back to ancient Greece. Why is it in peril?
Well, it's a number of reasons. I mean, it's been in every Olympics since in the modern era since 1896, and every Olympics in the since the ancient Olympic Games, you know, 700-800 BC. It started with, you know, the marathon and with wrestling. And, you know, one of the reasons is you just need I was going to say you need shoes and a patch of grass, but back then you didn't even need a pair of shoes. You just needed a patch of grass or some sand on the beach, and there you have it. You know, there's no country club, no polo pony, no clay courts to play tennis. And that's what makes it beautiful and unique and different and makes it accessible to the masses. There's 177 wrestling federations around the world, and they are all currently united with the common goal of making sure wrestling is reinstated as an Olympic sport. And the reasons that they eliminated it, you know, I don't know 100% for sure, but I know that it had to do with, you know, ego and politics and hubris and dysfunction, failed leadership. You know, in small part, probably at the IOC, they were frustrated with the leadership of FILA, who is the governing body that represents wrestling to the IOC, and they've been looking for changes and reform to grow the sport and make it better for mainly for the viewing audience on television, because they're going to sell the rights to the television network for billions of dollars, and the television network and the IOC want to make this as popular as possible. And they did not heed the warnings by the IOC, and we find ourselves in this situation today. But we are addressing all of those issues, making more weight classes for women and changing the sport so that scoring is easier and the sport is more exciting to watch and it's easier to understand. We're dealing with a lot of those issues right now.
Rick Tittle with Billy Baldwin. A couple more questions for Billy. Let's talk about what's going on in New York City today and then Sunday in L.A., because you think about some of the great wrestling nations. Obviously, Russia and the Iranians are famous for wrestling. This rumble on the rails, what is it about, and how is it going to help your committee?
Rumble on the Rails is a fundraiser for that coach that introduced me to wrestling years ago. I told you, Coach Al Bevilacqua, he founded Beat the Streets, and now Beat the Streets, I think, is in 15 different cities. It's an inner-city youth wrestling program, and we're going to be having a dual meet with Iran at Grand Central Station at 3 and with Russia at 6, to be followed by a gala at the Bryant Park Grill to raise money for Beat the Streets. But we've sort of, if you will, hijacked the event, the Committee to Preserve Olympic Wrestling, and they will gladly allow us to do that to try and use this May as International Wrestling Month and to have the three best teams in the world. I mean, it's arguable there are other great teams, the Turks and the Greeks and Romania, Bulgaria, Azerbaijan, all of the former Soviet satellite countries, a lot of them are quite excellent in wrestling. But the Americans and the Iranians and the Russians are the best of the best. And to have them in New York tonight, this afternoon, I should say, we have Russia, we have Iran at 3 and Russia at 6. And then on Sunday, May 19th, this coming Sunday, we have the Iranian team coming to L.A., and they're going to be competing. Doors open at 1 and competition at 2. The program starts at 2 for some very, very premier wrestling between Iran and the United States out on the West Coast in Los Angeles at the Los Angeles Sports Arena near USC. And, you know, it's an awareness event. It's all part of the campaign. We have a big vote coming up in St. Petersburg in only a matter of days. At the end of this month, we have a big vote in St. Petersburg. There's 8 sports that are up for consideration. 3 of them will survive. We're hoping, fingers crossed, that we're going to be one of the 3. We believe that it's going to be karate and squash and wrestling that will get passed through. Then we'll mobilize and get reorganized and roll out the platform for the second critical vote, which is going to be in Buenos Aires, Argentina, in September. And that's the one that both of them are critical. If we don't survive St. Petersburg, you know, we're in trouble. And if we do survive St. Petersburg, we're not back in the program. We still have to be voted in the final vote, which will eliminate either karate or squash. So we're going to be battling not only against the IOC, but also the constituencies of squash and karate, which are formidable, quite frankly. We have power in numbers, but they have very influential corporate CEOs and executives and very, very deep pockets in squash, and we have to make sure that we... it's a shame that we have to choose, to be honest with you. I wish there was room for both, but if there's not, I think that based on the heritage and the rich tradition of wrestling and history, that we've earned the right to be included.
Yeah, I mean, it's terrible to pit these perfectly good sports against each other, but that's what you're facing right now. Just one more question for you, Billy. I know that Rulon Gardner is on the committee with you, and I had the pleasure of interviewing him a few years ago. But, I mean, talk about a guy that came through so many tragic cases in his life to win a gold medal. And I remember the Russian guy, I forget his name, he hadn't lost in some like 12 years. I mean, what's it like with that guy? Because, I mean, talk about inspirational.
Yeah, he beat Alexander Karelin, mm-hmm. who was undefeated and unscored upon in 13 years, and he beat him for the gold medal. And Alexander Karelin has the greatest nickname in the history of Olympic sports. His name was the Experiment. Mm. He was undefeated and unscored upon from Siberia, who his nickname is the Experiment. He was 6'5", 265, with 3% body fat, and Rulon Gardner went out there and took it to him, man, and beat him for the gold. And Rulon is very inspirational. He's a great man. It's a great story. Wrestling has many of those stories. Dave Schultz and, Dan Gable is a tremendous story. John Smith is a great story. Cal Sanderson is a great story. Jordan Burroughs is a great story. You know, there's so many wonderful stories. But certainly with some of the trials and tribulations that Rulon has had to overcome, and it's some that, quite frankly, are life-threatening. One was a plane crash, and one was he got lost in the wilderness on a snowmobile and had to have his toes amputated. And recently, he's been battling his weight, which has been, a real challenge for him too. But he's a wonderful guy.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, when he was a little kid, he got shot in the stomach by an arrow. I mean, it started early with him. So, I mean, it's a crazy case with him. But yeah, a great inspiration. Finally, Billy, for those who can't get to New York or L.A., is there some way online or another way they can support your cause?
Yeah, go to keepolympicwrestling.org, keepolympicwrestling.org, and you'll see the website, and there's some videos there, and peruse that, and there's a way to go there, and it'll give you a recommendation. You make a donation to USA Wrestling. It'll provide all the information you need, and write in the memo the check, CPOW, the Committee to Preserve Olympic Wrestling, and make sure on the memo they understand that this is specifically for the campaign to keep wrestling on the Olympic program.
Okay, and Billy, are we going to see anything coming up on the silver screen soon?
Yeah, I'm about to go on a show in Toronto on the BBC called Copper. It's on the BBC America, so you get it on your cable package here. We're shooting that in Toronto. And I'm about to do a movie for the Hallmark Channel and for Lifetime, and I just put like two or three little independent films in the can. And my brother-in-law is the star of Men at Work, that TNT show about all the guys that work for that, like, Maxim magazine. My brother-in-law is Danny Masterson, who used to be one of the stars of that 70s show.
Right.
And I've done that show a couple of times, and they're going to bring me back on that show eventually, too.
Great stuff. We've been speaking with Billy Baldwin, Committee to Preserve Olympic Wrestling. If you're in New York City, it's going to happen today, Grand Central Station, Vanderbilt Hall, and, of course, Sunday in L.A. Check it out, the sports arena. Billy, thank you so much for your time. Best of luck with your project, and hopefully down the line we get to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right. So we will. Sometimes I have actors on, and we don't talk sports. This time he talks sports. Very good to talk with Billy Baldwin. We'll take a quick break here on Titillating Sports, and we will come back. Lines are open around the country at 1-800-878-PLAY, 1-800-878-7529. I'm Rick Tittle, and this is Sports Byline.